live online. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll make it all the way from the book of Acts to Philemon. Let's have some coffee, we'll pray, and we'll learn about the wisdom of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We pray now that as we read your word, that your spirit might be working in us. Teach us, God. We pray that we would learn your wisdom and know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't think I've asked you to do this for a long time. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, could you hit the like button or the subscribe button? This is one of those things that as I look at the analytics, sometimes it starts to dip. And it's Facebook and YouTube, they just do their thing, you know? So it helps other people see it. And it actually helps you because if nobody sees it, nobody does anything. And it's just how their algorithms work. So I hate asking for that, but if it's helpful to you. All right, here we go. We are at the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world, through wisdom, did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what's this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize these words? And C, what are we called to do in response? So what's this about? Well, how are they saved? He's talked about these divisions that were happening in the church. People were saying, oh, I follow Paul, and I follow Apollos, and I follow Cephas, and others were above all of it, and I follow Christ. And Paul leans in and he says, that's the one. Right? I didn't baptize many of you, and you weren't baptized in my name. I didn't save you. You were saved in Christ. And so he points out that his own rhetoric, his own skill as an orator, wasn't great. Right? His whole point here is saying that he is not the wisdom. He's not the one imparting to them knowledge and life. In Corinth, there was this idea that people would follow after these philosophers, and they would follow after these debaters. They would follow after those who would be the teachers. And he's saying, hold on. Hold on. The wisdom of God is different than the wisdom of this world. I mean, Paul went toe-to-toe with the philosophers at Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. Paul knew what it was like to hear out their philosophy and show them, hold on, hold on. Press the brakes, back up a little bit. Beep, beep, beep. Hold on. God's wisdom is counterintuitive. God didn't choose the noble. God didn't choose the rich. God didn't choose the mighty. God likes to choose the runt of the litter because it's for his glory. That's why he points us to the book of Jeremiah at the very end of this, right? Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, right? It is Jesus Christ who is the wisdom of God. Now, this is countercultural and a stumbling block, right? Because it is the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is a stumbling block to the Jews, right? Because he who hangs on the tree is cursed. And for the Gentiles, you don't even talk about crucifying and crucifixion in polite company, right? This is not, hold on, how can this great teacher be murdered on a cross? That's for like slaves and rebels. He says, yeah, that's exactly it. And that's how you were saved. That's how the Holy Spirit took your heart of stone, took it out, and he arrested you. It wasn't by Paul's rhetoric. It wasn't by his smooth speaking. It wasn't by his oratorical skills. No, it was the power of the cross. Now, he uses this idea of the cross as a synecdoche. So it's one thing pointing to the whole of salvation. So the cross is just meant to point towards the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Now, there is something I thought was interesting, and I want to point out here. Where is it at? Sorry, I need to think back here. It says, for you are being saved. I thought I had it marked here, but I must have had it marked in a different Bible. There's a point here. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through the wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe, right? So this is an aorist tense. He saved people who believe. This is including those in Corinth. Oh, it's right there. Duh, in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, is salvation punctiliar or is it a process? Are you saved or are you being saved? Because here it says being saved. It's sozomenai. So, this is a participle, right? It's saving. Well, we are being saved. Our point of justification is true. Justification is punctiliar. At a moment, you believed. God saved you. But thank God, it's not just that he saved us with justification and just one and done. But you know it deep down in your soul, don't you? That not everything's still right with you. God is still doing a good work in you. He's going to complete it unto the day of perfection. We are being saved. We are being transformed more and more. We're being sanctified. Sanctification is part of our salvation. Now, your salvation does not hinge on your sanctification because your sanctification is never going to be perfect. Not until glorification. But God has started this good work in you. And so Paul is saying, right, God did this in you. And this was foolishness, and you believed it. The Jews don't believe it because they always want a sign. They were never satisfied with Jesus' sign, the person who did more signs and miracles than anybody else in human existence, and they still didn't believe him. The world didn't believe him. The Greeks didn't believe him. They thought he was foolish. But you did. Because this is how the Holy Spirit works. See, it turns the world on its head. What's the best verse to summarize these sections? Well, I have verse 29, double underlined in mine, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I could also underline verse 30, especially the last part where he's quoting Jeremiah chapter 9. But you know me, I got a lot of things underlined. I have verse 21 underlined. The second part, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. I also have the second part of verse 24 underlined, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God underlined. But maybe you would disagree. What would you underline in your Bible as the best verse to summarize this section? Well, last, see, calling. How were you saved? Was it because you were smart enough? Were you wise enough? Did you save yourself? Or is it because you believed in Jesus Christ? You believed in the mystery of the gospel revealed. We hope in Christ. We love Christ. We cling to his finished work on that cross and know that he rose again from the dead. And that someday we also will rise again from the dead. We always look to Christ. He's the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Father, this world is trying to teach us all sorts of different things. Where we're to find salvation, where we're to find happiness, where we're to find contentment. The Stoics will tell us to just be okay with whatever happens. The narcissists will tell us that we can just become more and more grand and we'll find happiness. Lord, our postmodern philosophers, the debaters of this age will tell us there is no meaning to life. Just be satisfied with whatever you have. But Lord, you have given us Christ. You have shown us the way of love. You have shown us the way of righteousness, of sanctification, and of wisdom. Lord, we pray that we would follow after you. Thank you for the work that you have done in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may you always look to Jesus Christ. May you find comfort that he is the wisdom of God incarnate. And may you always walk in his ways. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.